The Fanny Mechanic Show with Dr. Tash, where we dive in, go deep, and open up about women's health. Hello and welcome everyone to the Fanny Mechanic Show. I am your host, Dr. Natasha Andriadis, aka Dr. Tash, and this episode is proudly brought to you by City Fertility, global leaders in fertility and IVF. In this episode, we dive into the topic of being child-free by choice. We go deep with journalist Shelley Horton, who opens up about her reasons for choosing not to have her own biological children. We also discuss other topics such as vaginal steaming, the importance of financial education for women, and meeting the Kardashians. A little bit about Shelley. Shelley Horton is the personification of confidence. She's a journalist, TV presenter, MC, and runs her own company, Shell Shock Media, where she teaches media and presentation training. She runs the confidence course where she helps people find their inner Beyonce. For 6 years, Shelley has appeared weekly on Channel 9's Today, Today Extra, 3pm News, and Weekend Today, delivering opinion segments. She's the lifestyle presenter for Nine Honey, the host of Nine Honey's Talking Honey, He Said, She Said, and Married at First Sight spin-off show Talking Married. She's an ambassador for the National Breast Cancer Foundation, Too Good, and Pink Hope. Her career highlights include 11 years reporting for the ABC, 8 years as a presenter on Channel 7, 6 years as a journalist at Fairfax, and 5 years as the South Pacific correspondent for Entertainment Tonight USA. In this episode, Shelley reminds us to celebrate choice. I hope you enjoy our chat. Shelley Horton, welcome to the show.
Oh, thanks for having me. I'm always going to be picking up the phone to the Fanny Mechanic.
Do you have me on speed dial?
Exactly.
Because, girl, you better. I think we're going to talk about something today that is not talked about often enough. And the topic is being child-free by choice. And a number of years ago, I picked up a book by an Australian journalist you may have worked with called Tori Shepherd. Have you heard of Tori Shepherd?
Yes, I have, yeah.
Yeah. And she's written a book called On Freedom. Have you read this book?
No, I haven't. No.
Yeah. It's a book about, you know, being child-free by choice. And on the cover, Annabelle Crabb comments, "The world is full of comments, pages showing how hard it is for a woman to say she doesn't want children. In this thought-provoking book, Tori Shepherd does it with clarity and verve. And on the back it says, they're labelled as selfish, as deliberately barren, and sometimes as crazy old cat ladies, but increasingly women are choosing to be child-free. Over the next few decades, couples without children are set to outnumber those who have them. Tori Shepherd looks at how women's freedom to choose motherhood is reshaping their own lives as well as society." And I thought before we go into, you know, your experience with being child-free by choice, I wanted to just go through the book and ask you what your opinion was on some stuff. Is that okay?
Yeah, I feel I'm completely on the same page.
So when you open up her book, it says, it's dedicated to all the well-meaning numpties who keep asking women why they're going to have a kid or why they're not, or when the next one's coming, or why they haven't tried vaginal steaming. I hope you read this and you stop. And she's
okay,
got
confession. I've actually done the vaginal steaming. Yeah, I did it in Bali just to try it, and yeah, nearly scalded my vajayjay. Anyway,
why
it
did
was
you?
Just for fun.
Yeah, I was for fun. Okay, did you feel different after it?
No, not at all. But my girlfriends, because we were staying in a villa in Bali, and my girlfriends were by the pool, and they knew I was doing it, and they thought I was insane. But I just thought it was hilarious, and I was, you know, videoing myself as I was doing it. And then I ran into the pool and jumped in the pool, and they made hissing sounds as if the water had actually just cooled my vagina.
And where did you do it? Was it a beauty salon? Where was that?
It was like a massage therapist who would come to your villa, and then it was like that was like an add-on.
Wow. And so describe what it's like, because I've not ever had vaginal steaming before.
So it's basically, if you imagine sitting on a port-a-loo, but instead of a toilet underneath, they've got some herbs burning and a little bit of water added to that, so it creates a steam. And the idea behind it is that you are, you know, flushing out the terrible toxins and you know, making your vulva more attractive. So, no science. We don't need science.
Did it feel good though?
No, it got too hot too quickly. So it was like, that's what I was thinking. I thought it was a nice warm sensation, that'd be all right. But no, it was more like when you sit in a hot bath too quickly, you jump up.
I remember Gwyneth Paltrow copped a bit of flack a few years ago for this, for promoting this, didn't she?
Yes. I mean, hers with her vajayjay steaming and then also her vagina candle.
Oh, vagina candle?
Yeah, she's got a candle and it says, this smells like, it's called, this smells like my vagina. But of course, it smells like roses. No one's vagina smells like roses.
I have to say, I agree with that one.
Yeah. That's part of your job, you're lucky.
Yeah. No, I think most vaginas are neutral. They don't smell like really anything. That's my opinion anyway. But maybe it's because when most women go to the gynecologist, they have a bit of a wash. Maybe I'm looking at it from a bias perspective.
Yes, 100%. We basically, bias perspective is perfect. It's like we've tidied up the house, we've sprayed out some magazines and we've put some, you know, bread in the oven to convince you. We have a good wash before we see a doctor so they don't get any of that off fish smell. So.
Yeah, which you don't actually smell that often. So to all the women out there, really please don't be like ashamed of your vaginas or be too self-conscious about it when you're seeing a gynecologist. In the book then, when you open up further, it says, in the beginning, whenever they went, what, no children? Well, you'd better get on with it, old girl. I'd say, no, F off. And there was an actor called Helen Mirren who later confessed she had a fleeting regret about not having kids.
A fleeting regret.
A fleeting regret. Now, do you think, why do you think a woman would regret not having children? What do you think your opinion is on that one?
I think it's difficult for me because I have never wanted children. So it's not something that I've flipped and flopped over. It's more that just like some women will just know that they want to have kids, like it's just a feeling inside of them. I've always just known that it's not the path for me. So I have never had any regrets, not even 1 minute of regrets. What I have done, though, is when I was much younger and getting married for the first time and I knew I didn't want kids, I actually took myself off to a psychologist and I asked him, you know, can you see if I've got any buried trauma or something? Like, was I abused as a child? Is that why I don't want kids? And he was horrified. He was just like, there's absolutely nothing wrong with you. It's just that you are not choosing the same path as anyone that the public expects you to. So I was that concerned that there was something wrong with me because I didn't want kids that I actually sought medical help. So I think that in itself shows what sort of stigma there was. And of course, for me, we're talking 20 years ago, but I was almost afraid to tell people I didn't want kids. So no, at no point would I ever have any regret. I think for me, I think what I get a lot of love from my nephews, and when I see those moments where they're, you know, very tender with their parents or if they hurt themselves and they need their mom, like I think that would be a lovely feeling. But I don't think that makes up for the 18 years of child rearing where basically kids are awful.
Teenagers are tough.
Oh, geez, so much work.
Yes, I feel the same. And my realization came more so when I started working with a business / life coach, and he told me after he'd read my astrology chart, being an astrologer himself, Tash, the house of Uranus is empty for you. And I said, what does that mean? He goes, you have no childhood not no child rearing desires. I'm like, wow, I've always felt that very strongly. But it was really interesting working with someone who then saw it and then told me about it, not knowing how I felt about it prior to asking.
Yeah, interesting.
Yeah, it was a pretty awesome experience actually having that conversation with him.
Yeah, it would have been. And I've also sort of made peace with the fact that I am not a mother, but I believe I still have mothering and nurturing qualities. Mm. Like I love my dogs more than most people love their kids. And I mentor young female journalists and I get a lot of joy, you know, being like a mother hen to them and helping them with their careers. So I think the term mother can be used in different contexts, and it doesn't have that old stereotype that if you don't have kids, then you don't have a heart, because that's kind of how we were told when I was growing up. It was that women, when I wrote my very first article about not wanting children, I was trolled horribly.
Oh, really?
And some of the, yeah, horribly.
How long ago was that?
That was 10 years ago.
Mm.
And I was quite calm in the article. Like it was very much like I started off saying, you know, whenever someone asked me if I want to have children, I'd say, oh, look, I love kids. I just couldn't eat a whole one and just make a joke of it. But went through how, you know, I actually had seen a psychologist and my mother had, you know, asked me to freeze my eggs and people would say I changed my mind. And yet I felt that no one was taking my choice seriously. And the trolls came out and they said things like, a woman who doesn't want children is not a woman.
Mm.
I had someone else say, you're a waste of a uterus. And then my favorite, which was, you're so selfish, you're not even breeding future taxpayers. Like, oh,
that's the
God.
Best I've heard so far.
I'm like, that's
how nasty.
Insane.
Yeah.
So that was pretty horrible. But at the same time, I had some beautiful comments. So I had one girl who was from a very strict Catholic Italian family, and she wrote to me and said, I am happily married. My parents bring up, when am I going to give them grandchildren, every single time I see them. And I've told them I don't want kids. And they just keep saying, you'll change your mind. You know, time's not right. It'll happen. And then she said, I printed out your article and I put it on the dining room table. And I said, before we eat dinner, I want everyone to read this article and then we're going to have a chat. And they read my article as a family. And then the mother and the father and the daughter all had a cry. And now they said, we understand now and we accept your decision. And she said, it changed her life because it just has taken this constant pressure off from when she was having family time.
So how does that make you feel as a journalist to know you've written something that's brought clarity to people's lives but also maybe helped bring people together and reach an understanding?
I honestly, like, it's when I get feedback like that, it makes up for all the trolls.
Mm.
You can have 1,000 trolls say horrible things to you, but if you make difference to one person's life and make their life a bit easier by sharing your experience, it's worth doing. So I have certainly felt like I have led the way when it comes to talking about being child-free by choice. And I think that I have made a difference because it has been a conversation that was taboo for so long. And I wrote an article for Nine Honey recently talking about being child-free by choice, and all of the comments that I got were positive. So in that 10 years, we've come a very long way. And there were incredible comments from, you know, mums with 3 kids saying, I love my kids, but oh my God, they're hard work. You know, so if you don't want it, it's all about choice. Mm. You don't have to make that choice. And I really love that when women are supporting each other rather than competing.
And one of my friends always says, focus on the fabulous. So that's what you're doing when you're focusing on that one person as opposed to the thousands of trolls, huh?
Oh, I like that. Focus on the fabulous.
She's a fabulous hairdresser, so it comes from a place of beauty.
I love it.
Yeah, yeah. Another chapter she's titled Baron versus Breeder, and then she quotes someone, anyone who has chosen to remain deliberately barren They've got no idea about what life's about. And that came from the words of former Liberal Senator Bill Heffernan.
Yeah.
What would you say to Bill about that one?
Well, I'm glad that I'm not near him because I think I would be violent. That was such a horrible slur against Julie Bishop. Sorry, no, it wasn't Julie Bishop, even though she is child-free by choice as well. Julia Gillard, our Prime Minister. And to have someone say the word barren in Parliament, I think was excessively rude. And it makes it so uncomfortable and upsetting for other people who are in the situation where they might want children, but they're having fertility issues.
Mm.
You know, I don't think many people understand the trauma that people going through IVF or any fertility issues are going through. So just to say words like that is actually offensive and ill-informed and just shows what an absolute pig he is.
Yep. I love the way you dissected. That's just that synthesis was perfect. Thank you so much. moving on to a next chapter, she quotes men's rights extremist Gavin McInnes. He said, "These women ultimately regret it. They're miserable. They don't want to be childless. They want kids. You, deep down, would rather be at home."
Oh my God. Why is it that the men's rights campaigners are actually awful versions of men? They really are, because they're, you know, the majority of men are lovely, you know, caring, wonderful human beings, but these men's rights campaigners are just so angry. He couldn't be more wrong. I mean, I honestly think that that comes from someone who has no understanding of how a woman feels and that you can have different choices and different life paths. Mm. So, again, just an incredibly ill-informed argument.
I like this one. Oh, come on, you'll change your mind. The clock is ticking. Having children is the great loving experience of a lifetime. And by definition, you haven't got as much love in your life if you make that particular choice. Quote from former Labor leader Mark Latham.
Geez, a lot of male pollies seem to want to speak about my uterus. Look, the thing is, I find it incredibly offensive when people say you won't understand what true love is until you've had a child. And I think that there are so many families out there whose children do not love them, who don't have a great relationship with their children, that I just don't think that argument flies anymore. You know, it used to be, you know, you've got to have children so you've got someone to look after you when you're older. Well, there aren't many kids looking after their parents now. They're in a home and they're lucky to get a visit once a month because everyone's so busy. We're not in that society that where we, you know, it takes a village and you live in a village. We are honestly doing things our own way. So I feel quite, I just bat that away because you know what? I have so much love in my life and I get love from different areas. So I don't need to roll the dice to see if I am going to have a great relationship with a child and take a risk and it not working out when you've then got them as part of your life for the rest of your life.
Mm.
No thanks.
Yeah, I often get offended. It doesn't happen so much now, but it used to when people used to ask me a lot of, oh, you're going to have kids. Oh, no, you'll find someone and then, you know, what if you regret it and you decide you don't want to have kids with them still? And I'm like, well, why would I regret it? I have a firm, solid belief now. And
yeah.
What I'm loving as my job at the moment as a fertility specialist, I am loving managing women who are not waiting for the right man to come along. They're coming to me and going, you know what? I want to really be a mum. I want to use donor sperm and I want to do this my way. And I can't tell you how good I feel helping these women because,
absolutely.
You know, they're making a really – conscious decision to have children, but out of the box kind of way. They're still judged. You know, people will say to them, oh, they're having kids on their own. You know, every child deserves a father, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, I don't know.
No, I agree. I mean, there's so many dirtbag dads out there. You know, just because you've got a father doesn't mean you've got a great role model. You might have a great uncle who is a father figure to you and, you know, has a great impact. It could be a teacher. It could be any role model in your life. I fully support women who have decided to go the donor sperm IVF route, and because you know what? It means that they really want it. They want it so badly that they are willing to go through the sacrifice of the money, the time, the fact that they will be a single mum and it will affect their earning potential, all of that, because they know it's something that important to them. And I feel like those women are already, you know, four steps ahead of women who fall pregnant accidentally and aren't prepared for it. These mm-hmm. guys have really thought through the pros and cons and are doing it their way, and I salute them.
I saw an Instagram post where you were talking about financial education.
Yes.
Tell us about that, because I feel the reason why women now are in a position where they actually can be child-free by choice more so than ever in history is because of the fact that we are more educated and we have finances that we can make ourselves, money we can make ourselves and not necessarily rely on Mr. Perfect over here. What are your thoughts? And tell us about what you recently did with Advantage.
Advantage. So the Advantage is basically a finance education company. They're not actually selling home loans or anything like that. So that's why I like being associated with them. They asked me to come on board and I'm like, are you kidding me? I don't have any financial background. I'm not a finance journalist. What are you talking about? And then we kept talking so I've been married twice. And when I left my first husband, we had all joint accounts. We had a terrible credit card debt of $20,000. We were drowning in just paying the interest. So for me, I wasn't very financially savvy. I mean, I'm ashamed to say that I was almost like a 1960s housewife where, you know, the husband takes care of the money in the house and it all goes into a joint account. I had to learn the hard way how to pick myself up out of that debt. So I love it saying that my ex-husband gave me an STD, but it's sexually transmitted debt. So I was, you know, then single and in my mid-30s and had to start from scratch with my finances. So the first thing I did was cut up my credit card and started to learn about putting a budget together, how to save, how to pay off debt and how to get ahead. And then by the time I was 40, I bought my first investment property by myself, which was terrifying doing it on one wage and particularly in the media, which is not exactly the most stable of industries. However, I taught myself all of that and I'm really proud to pass on that information because I'm certainly not, you know, looking down at people from some ivory tower. I'm in the trenches going, oh yeah, that happened to me and this is how I survived. Or even the fact that I encourage my girlfriends to talk about money with me and talk about how much they earn and talk about how much they paid for their house and how much their renos are going to be. Because if we don't share information, and I think women in particular are very wired towards learning through verbal communication. If we're not sharing those stories as part of a natural conversation, then they can easily go back into that taboo topic area. And I think that's when women can get trapped. And I also a very big campaigner for women having, we'll call it an escape fund. I call it a fuck off fund for me. But because when I left my first husband, I didn't have any money that was mine. And I didn't want to use the joint credit card. I didn't want to take money out because I felt guilty about leaving. So I think you need to have an amount of money that is there that is just yours if you are in a relationship where you have joint accounts. So in my marriage now, which is incredibly loving and incredibly supportive, we have separate bank accounts. So it's not even an issue. And then we have a joint bank account for our business. And that is working so well for us. And when we will be paying off that first property that I bought, which was only taken me 10 years, which I think is incredibly quick and I'm very proud of. And we bought a second investment property on the Northern Beaches in Sydney, and we're now looking for our third. So,
fantastic.
You know, for someone who had a very late start when it came to educating myself about money, I feel like I'm kicking goals, and I do not feel like I need to be ashamed about that or that I should be keeping quiet because I want to learn more. My next step is to actually get a stock market portfolio, but I'm so scared of shares because it feels like gambling, but I'm not
quite
there.
What do they say? Feel the fear and do it anyway.
Oh, I know. My brother is the one who's encouraging the most, and I think he's actually made an appointment with his financial planner because he's just like, once you get in, you're going to love this. Mm. I'm like, okay. I'm the girl who has never bought a lottery ticket or gambled in my life. So it's
not even a scratchy?
Not a scratchy. No. Don't even like, I just don't like it.
Yeah. I went for a walk today with my mum, and one of the things we do when we go walking is we go to the news agency. She buys the Greek paper for my dad and her, and she always buys scratchies. And she has always won money on scratchies. She always wins money. And if she'll buy six scratchies, she'll give me three. She'll keep three. She's always the one that wins. I never win. I never, ever. I'm like, how come you always hand me the ones that never have $5, but you're the one who gets the money? And I don't know, some people may be a bit blessed in that way.
She's got the golden touch.
She does. Yeah. The Midas touch. So I think, I think that going back to being child-free by choice, I think women educating themselves and each other enable them to make better choices in life for themselves, whether that choice is to other people considered good or bad, you know.
100%.
So I think when I saw that post about education, financial education, I'm going, yes, I love this.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think with every single topic that's considered taboo, the more we progress as a society, the less taboo it becomes.
Mm.
So again, I mean, mental health, no one used to speak about that. You used to have so much shame associated with it. So I think that we are progressing and we are becoming more open to having some conversations that may be uncomfortable at first, but sometimes you have to get uncomfortable to then get comfortable. Mm. And I'm hoping that's what's happening with Child Free by Choice.
With this book, the next chapter is a quote. Has a quote by former Prime Minister Tony Abbott on high-income, educated women. If we want women of that caliber to have families, and we should, well, we have to give them a fair dinkum chance to do so. What are your thoughts on that quote?
I actually just vomited a little bit in my mouth. is he saying the same thing about men? Because no one is asking these men in high-profile positions if they've got children or if they want children. And why is that? Because they're not doing 50% of the child rearing. Mm. So I think it's a very unfair and unbalanced point of view. So, you know, to have Tony Abbott, who is not one of my favourite people, to be speaking in such a condescending way to women who are absolutely breaking the glass ceiling, to give them a red hot go, you know, let's get behind these women. It just sounds so hokey.
Mm.
And I feel embarrassed for them.
And so like 100 years ago.
Yeah. Jesus.
What do you think of this one? US author Megan Doan reimagined Leo Tolstoy's well-known words. Why aren't they doing their bit? People who want children are all alike. People who don't want children don't want them in their own ways.
I don't know if I even understand that.
Yeah, I'm reading it going, people who don't want children don't want them in their own ways. Yeah, that kind of makes sense.
So it could be that you don't want kids because of any reason. It could be an unhappy childhood. It could be that you don't believe bringing children into the world is great for the environment. It could be like me, where you just have no desire, all of which are valid, but those who want children just want them.
Mm.
Is that
That makes a lot of sense. And it actually reminds me of a time many, many years ago, maybe 20 years ago, I recall a conversation I had at a friend's house with her friend who had just gotten married. And I was asking this friend of hers who had just gotten married, when are you going to have kids? And yeah. She said, I don't want them. And I was like, oh, why? And I'm appalled at the fact that I even asked that question, because there's no way I'd do that now. And she said, yeah. Well, I didn't have the best parents and I just don't want to be in that position where I have so much responsibility. So, and it was the first time somebody had said to me that they didn't want to be parents because they weren't happy with their parents.
Yeah.
And I remember just thinking, oh.
But that's a very vulnerable story to have to tell, you know. So we shouldn't be putting people in this situation where they have to bring up
anything.
Trauma.
Yes, that's
true. To talk about that. I always take the point of view that when people say to you, you know, when are you going to have kids or are you planning on having kids, that they're not coming from a negative place. It's just that they don't know better. And I think that if you approach your response to them the same way, so it's kind of from a place of empathy and, you know, a learning moment, you can help them. I have said the same thing to some friends who are changing their pronouns. And I, as a journalist, I grammatically, it's hard for me to say they when it's one person. Mm. And so I make mistakes. And so I've just said to them, please understand I'm not coming from a place of judgment or meanness or not accepting you. I'm just learning. So please pick me up, help me, and we'll travel this path together. And I kind of feel that's the same way for people who say things to couples in particular who might be recently married. And so it's kind of the automatic question is, so when you're having kids, I came up with a great conversation starter that I think is perfect because it doesn't let you fall into any of those traps of when you're having kids or when are you going to buy a house or, you know, how's work? And then you find out that we've made redundant. If you just say to people, what's been keeping you busy? Then it throws the ball into their court and they can talk about whatever they want to bring up. If someone's, you know, just come back from a honeymoon, or instead of saying, oh, great, so what are you having kids? If you say, so, what's been keeping you busy? And they say, well, we're just back from our honeymoon, but my husband started a photography course and this is his new passion, blah, blah, blah. It takes you to safe areas.
Mm.
So, yeah, that can be helpful.
Yeah, I often say, so what's been happening?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Very similar.
I think I got that from Happy Days, from the sitcom show.
Really?
What's been happening? This goes back to your mention earlier about men. What about men? Says Robin Hadley, a UK academic who went on to write a PhD on childless men. You don't think of men getting broody, but that's exactly what was happening to me. I was watching my friends start their own families and thinking, why should they have everything I've always wanted? I think there are a lot of, you know what I see in my practice? I see a lot of couples where the woman really wants the kid. And a lot of the time the guy's there because he's just kind of there because she wants the kid, but they're kind of neutral. They don't really care if they do or they don't. Yeah. I see that a lot. I really don't think that gets talked about a lot, that the fact that there may be a lot more child-free by choice men out there than women. And then what does that mean?
Yeah. And so my husband, when we first started dating, we basically brought up the fact that we didn't want kids before the first date. Because as far as I'm concerned, if you're not on the same page, there's no sense even going out for dinner. Because I have had relationships break up because the guy really wanted kids and I didn't. So I think it would work both ways. The interesting thing is my husband, Darren, has never wanted kids, and he said he rarely got asked about it, whereas I was asked about it all the time. So I don't think men have the same pressure from society that we do when it comes to, you know, child bringing up children. But I think that we do also need to acknowledge that, yes, there are men who don't want to have kids, and that's completely okay as well. The important thing is that we match these people up. So the ones who don't have kids get hooked up with other child-free people, because if you're both not on the same page, then I think you're actually setting yourself up for a lot of heartache.
Moving on to the next chapter, isn't it better to have fewer people? This is by then-Treasurer Peter Costello in 2002 after introducing the baby bonus. And, man, I remember this because I was a trainee at RPA delivering lots of babies. I encourage people who can, if you have the opportunity, if you're young enough, to have one for mum, one for dad, and one for the country.
Oh, that is so horrendous, isn't it?
Three kids. Is that three kids? Horrendous. That's three kids.
That is honestly the, you're so selfish, you're not breeding future taxpayers.
Yeah.
That is crazy. I mean, look at our population boom around the globe. We actually do not need people having kids for the government. You know, have the number of kids that you can provide enough love and support to and are not going to be a burden on the government, rather than have one for the government. That's just ridiculous.
Yeah, I remember that quote. I just remember it. And the baby bonus thing, I think it was a couple of $1,000s actually. And we used to joke about all the new plasma TVs that were going
all
to be
TVs.
Purchased.
Yeah. I remember.
Yeah.
And I think that this is something that a lot of people who have kids don't think about. But I'm paying full, you know, high bracket taxes, and I'm contributing to schools and preschools and, you know, hospitals for kids that I will never, ever need. So I'm already contributing to society. So, and also because we are double income, no kids, I'm not going to need the pension. Mm-hmm. So if anything, I'm being less selfish by not having kids and not having three. So there's one for the government.
I like that. I like that a lot. It makes people think differently, you know, having these conversations. Thank you for that. The next one is, but if I don't wipe someone's bum, who will wipe mine? And famous for something woman, Kourtney Kardashian says, motherhood has most definitely changed me in my life. Even silly things like the fact that all of my pictures on my cell phone used to be me at photo shoots, but now every single picture on my phone is of Mason. Bless you, Courtney. And, you know, I see videos of her. Like, I love her mother. I think her mother is hysterical. And you can tell, you know, there are certain women that are just bred to have children. And I just think, you know, that's their thing. That's their vibe in life. That's almost like why they almost came onto the planet. And you see women like that, and they just love being mums. And I think power to you.
And
I
that's great.
You know?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Look, I've got to give you a little anecdote here, but I met the Kardashian.
Did you?
So I went over to LA, and it was for, they were doing a line of jeans. And, of course, I'd watched the show, but not, you know, obsessively. But I had already decided that Kim would be sort of standoffish, and Kourtney is a bit too, you know, obsessed with babies. I wouldn't connect, and that I would actually be best friends with Khloe. In fact, what happened was it was Chris, the mom, who was fascinating because she is the one who's orchestrated entire empire.
Yeah.
I was kind of right about Kim Kardashian in that she basically just spoke about the brands that she was representing, so you didn't get anything from her. Khloe wasn't as friendly as I'd hoped, and Kourtney was the kind one. Kourtney was the one who was like, tell me more about your life and you know, I heard you've just been on safari in Africa. What was it like? We're planning on doing it, and was incredibly chatty. So even when you see people on TV and you have an idea of them, when you meet them in real life, they can be completely different. But I think the important thing for child-free by choice women is to always celebrate choice. If you're with women who love kids and want kids, that's fantastic, just as much as it's fantastic for you to choose not to. So it's about celebrating choice, not compare and despair.
So what was it like being in the same room with all of those people?
Yeah, it was kind of crazy. It was a red carpet event, and then it was in at a nightclub. And because I was a journalist covering the event, I'd been invited into the VIP area. So I got photos with all of them. But that was my life at the time. I was the gossip columnist at the Sun Herald. So it was a pretty fun existence with lots of free champagne and lots of junkets and excitement. But I worked out that in the 6 years that I worked at Fairfax, I went to 1,500 events. So let me tell you, by the time you get to 1,499, you realize going to events can become a job. And it's not quite as glamorous as everyone thinks it is.
What were you wearing that night, though?
I can tell you exactly. I was wearing a bright green Camilla caftan with lots of like sequins and things on it, and they loved it.
Because now you've been sporting these wrap dresses that are very nice, that kind of remind me of Diane von Furstenberg, but more kind of almost florally. Tell us about that brand.
This is a couple of designers I love who are Queensland designers. Lena and Fleur have been supporting me for over a decade. And basically, as you can imagine, with me being on TV up to three times a week, you rip through clothes. And because I'm not on staff at Channel 9, I don't have access to their wardrobe, you know. So I actually have to provide my own clothes. So Lena and Fleur have just, for the past 10 years, sent me four dresses a month. I wear them on TV, wash them and send them back. And if there's one or two I love, I keep them. And we've just had that sort of deal going. So I also have massive boobs. So wearing a wrap dress is very flattering if you've got big boobs. And I like to feel confident when I'm on TV. And particularly on TV, you need to wear colour. Mm. So it's been one of those great partnerships. And another one is another Queensland designer called Maoki. And Dee, who is the designer there, she also sends me clothes occasionally, and then I send them back, which to me is kind of a perfect outcome because I don't need four new dresses a month. But I do kind of need to keep things fresh for when I'm on TV.
Yeah, you were wearing a cool jumpsuit the other day. Who was that by?
Yes, that's Lena and Fleur. Ah, that's new.
Very cool.
Yeah, I love a jumpsuit. But you know the trouble with a jumpsuit?
Toilet.
When you go to the toilet, you have to get nude.
Yeah.
I know.
I was a few years ago, I thought I'd make my own scrubs, and I thought I'll just make my own, design my own, sew my own, and I did. And I made a scrub that was a jumpsuit, and I love wearing it, but me with a lot of, you know, urinary urgency because I drink so much coffee, it just didn't work. It just did not work, as much as I love a jumpsuit.
That's funny.
A couple of more quotes from the book. One by Liberal Democratic Party's David Leon Helm. He said, "Won't someone please think of the childless?" I've not heard of that politician before.
I think that also goes into what I was saying about we contribute to education and, you know, all parts of society. So we are actually contributing members of society, even though we don't have children. And you'll find around election time, it's like this budget's for the families. These are for the mums and dads out there. And I do feel like sometimes saying, hello, I'm here, I vote too.
Mm.
Because I think that politicians in particular are quite conservative, and their conservative views often only think about, you know, white picket fence, house, and mum and dad with two kids. And it just doesn't work that way anymore.
No. It's so old school and...
Yeah.
So many different the families are being built in different ways, you know. It's a lot more colourful and exciting these days.
Exactly.
Now, in the end, she writes, Turkish President Recep Tayyip Erdogan had said, a woman who refuses maternity and gives up housekeeping faces the threats of losing her freedom. She is lacking and is a half a person, no matter how successful she is in the business world.
Oh, my God. So this again comes down to the division of labor in a household. I don't understand why it falls to a woman. Like, it is should be something that you work out with your partner, and it should also be looking at the logistics of who's working the longest hours and bringing the most income and who can help out the most. And what about even hire a cleaner? You know, when it comes down to it, if you're going to be arguing about who's cleaning the toilet, then that's not worth an argument. You know, get a cleaner in. I mean, $30 an hour, you can get a cleaner. And for me, that's worth more than me getting down and scrubbing. So I think that, again, these are just outdated points of view. And I think that you can be a CEO and still be a mum, and you can be a CEO and be child-free by choice. One's not selfish and one's not selfless. So we need to even things up with the way we look at it.
So that brings me to the end of Tori Shepherd's On Freedom. Nifty compact book that I recommend people read. I love this little book. Do you have anything else to add, Shelley, on this topic?
I think I would just say, probably reiterate that I don't think many people are coming from a mean or horrible place if they slip up and ask if you're having kids. So it's up to you to adopt the attitude of, like what I did, of making a joke that you've got a standby joke you can make, or just deflecting the conversation, or deciding to let them know in a gentle way that that question is inappropriate. So I don't think it needs to be a fight. And the thing is, if it makes you feel uncomfortable, it makes you feel like having a fight, then you need to do something to change the way people are speaking about child-free. It's time to step up and educate, not just be a passenger, because I know all of the hard work that I've done by speaking at events and writing stories about it have helped a lot of people. And it's shown that we can learn different ways to do things, and it just takes a bit of time, but it's completely worth it.
And can I ask you one last question?
Yeah.
On the topic of children, when do you think life begins?
Oh, as in?
Life as you may know it, or we know it. You know it personally. When do you think it begins? For me, it's when the fetal heart starts beating and blood starts circulating around a fetus. Some people say, last week I was interviewing someone and they said, life begins with the thought. When do you think life begins?
Yeah, that's a great idea.
Yeah.
I certainly do not think life begins with a fetal heartbeat, because I am pro-abortion, and I would not like anyone to feel that they are ruining or killing a life. I think that you're saving your own life for your own reasons for that. I think it's when you have memories. So I look back at my life, and I don't have any real memories until I was 2.5, and then again when I was about 5 or 6. So I think it's when you can remember.
She almost kind of goes back to that person who said the thought, which I find fascinating. Memories, that's fantastic. I love asking people this question, because people always answer in such a different way. Thank you, Shelley.
I love chatting to you. I really wish we were having a glass of wine.
A virtual glass. Thank you so much.
Yes. Thanks for having me.
I hope you've enjoyed this episode with the lovely Shelley Horton. Share this episode with someone if you think it will help or inspire them. Please subscribe to the Funny Mechanic channel, and if you haven't already, hop over and give the show a fantastic rating. Shoot me a message on Instagram, Dr. Tash Funny Mechanic, and let me know of any topics you'd like to hear, cool people I can interview, or books for us to read and share. Until next time, stay fantabulous.